Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Hope everybody can hear me. I got a loud enough voice. So I told Brother Bruce, I don't know if I need a microphone or not, but thank you again. We always look forward to coming out and visiting with us, visiting with our biological families, but also our spiritual family out here. And we just love coming out here whenever we can. I know one of the things as a parent, when you have grown children, is you want them to go places where, first of all, no matter what they do, that they keep walking with God. Second of all, you want to make sure, to the best of your ability, that they're worshiping with someone or in a situation where they can continue to grow as Christians. And I can definitely say both of those are true. So Thank you again. Brother Bruce mentioned that Brandon was my son about 17 years ago. He's about 7 years ago, he started calling me Shorty. Now, I'm taller than most folks, but started calling me Shorty, so I guess I'll be Brother Shorty, Brother Parker's father. Definitely for those who are visiting with us, see some folks here that from the way on out a little further. I didn't have anything here for this morning. But as we go into the day, I won't be long with preliminaries. Many folks have recognized this day as New Year's Day. Our calendar does. And a lot of folks get in the habit of making New Year's resolutions. And there's nothing really wrong with that. But one of the things I've learned, and maybe you can learn something from too, when you think about that in grand terms, what you going to do for 2023? Sometimes you miss the blessings in living each day to its fullest. You know, we live in a world that's so easy to get caught up in the rat race of living, whether it be a job or other responsibilities. And sometimes we don't take time to breathe. Maybe I'm just talking about myself, but I know sometimes that rat race kind of gets me going a little too fast. And one of the things that I used to do when I was younger, and I do some crazy stuff, but me and my brother had the bright idea to ride a bicycle, you know, together. We were both small enough to get on it, but we wanted to test the limits a little bit. So we took the chain off, number one. Number two is it had no brakes on it at all. So our idea of brakes was either a bush or somebody's front porch. Now, I live to tell the story, and I'm still here. I got some bruises to tell that I'm not lying. But, you know, when you think about folks living life today, most folks are going full speed, no brakes, doesn't care, the chain's off, they have no sense of direction. You know, sometimes on those old bikes, if they're old, that little handlebar gets a little wobbly, and usually I tell somebody when you see them wobble about three or four times, go ahead and call somebody because they're about to wreck. So it happens sometime in life. So I was thinking about a lesson I was going to talk about this morning. I couldn't think of any more that was more prevalent today than the lesson entitled today. Turn with me again to Psalms 118. Psalms 118. I'm going back up and get verse 22 because it gives us the reason why we ought to be thankful that God blesses us every day. And then I'm going to make some practical applications and then a lesson will be yours. My goal always is to quit on you before you quit on me. So, Psalms 118, we're going to begin at verse number 22. And it reads as such. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and because of this, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord and has given us light. Bind the sacrifice of cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Today, or this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And as we approach a new year, maybe we can think about how blessed we are to be here. I know a lot of folks in my family had a lot of death and family, close-knit family, a lot of close relatives pass away, and nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. You know, I have some folks who were here last Sunday, which the world says was, you know, Christmas, that are not here today. And oftentimes do we look over the blessings of just being here today. I know things aren't perfect. I know you still got some things to work on. I know somebody made you mad yesterday or made you mad this morning on the way. But still, we're blessed to have today. Amen. And as we go into this world and this new year, let us focus on what's most important today. But I found out that most folks are living either in yesterday or tomorrow. And either one of those is any good. You can't do anything about yesterday except learn from it. And tomorrow's not here. How much time do we waste in anxiety and stress, worrying about tomorrow? We have today. Let's live and be the best Christians we can today. So as we go through our lesson, how much do we value each day? Do worry and anxiety rob us of the blessing today? I don't know about you, but it's happened to me before. Something's on your mind and you have to dealing with something, and before you know it, you spent half the day, don't know where the time went, and you're just worried and focused and anxious, and starts messing with you biologically, and your stomach gets upset and you get headaches and all these other things, and we just wasted a day. Amen. Is the day ruined before it ever starts? Some of us get up in a bad mood. You just for no reason. Sometimes you just good morning, grunting and going on. What? Why is all that necessary? You hear, you woke up, God woke you up, but we often do that sometimes. Do we allow others, this is another thing we do, to determine how we feel about each day? We allow that way too much in our life. We serve an awesome God. Amen. Who's blessed us to be here. So if somebody talks about you, don't worry about it. If somebody laughs at you, don't worry about it. Don't worry so much about what folks say and think about you, because it will ruin today. Do problems and difficulties steal your joy each day? And it shouldn't. We all have them. Nobody's immune from problems and situations, but does it rob us of our joy to the point where we find no joy in still being alive? So let us look at some simple strategies to help us enjoy each and every day. Strategy number one, today I will live the next 24 hours and not try to tackle all our problems at one time. Some of us got a to-do list that goes out that door. And because we got to-do list at dawn, we don't do the first thing on the to-do list. It kind of paralyzes us because all we see is, I got to get to number 200. Who said so? And why today in 24 hours? You've been working on this for years, so why all of a sudden you got to finish it today? When you think about Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. I wonder if we changed our mindset and pray that every day, how much easier life would be. How much less stress we'd have. Give us this day. The Mars going to take care of itself. If he gave it to you yesterday, just pray about today. And if he gave it to you yesterday and today, surely the same one who provided these things will give it to you tomorrow. Amen. So what do we have to worry about? But oftentimes we just do these things and it freezes us and paralyzes. We got so much stuff to do. We just sit there almost just drooling on ourselves, so to speak, because we can't get moving. Do something today. Whatever you can do today, do something. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Point number two, today I will improve myself, my mind, body, and spirit. Each one is vitally important to our peace and joy. How oftentimes do we let stress ruin our health? Raise blood pressure, heart attacks, digestive issues, and it's all because of unmanaged stress in our lives. And we live in a world of stress because everything is before us. You know, before things, we used to have to wait till we got the morning newspaper. That's when folks don't know about the morning newspaper. That's when you got the news. And if that didn't happen, you know, Miss Lula May or Mr. Joe would come down the street for his daily cup and tell you kind of what happened in the last 24 hours. That's not the way it is today. We find our stuff instant. And if we're not careful, we're too plugged in to the point where if we're logged in and we see something, it changes our mood immediately. And I'm not saying there's not some benefits of social media and technology, but sometimes I think we get too wired into it. Amen. You know, when you talk to kids, and I still work with kids on a regular basis, at least part-time now, that, you know, one of the things they say they can't live without is a cell phone. I live without cell phones. There were such days, and some of you go way back because you know about party lines, don't you? And you dare not have an inappropriate conversation on the party line because the whole neighborhood could hear it. Yep. You didn't block up the line. You didn't have call waiting when I came up. You know, somebody was waiting on a call. You had to get off the phone. I don't care who you was talking to. That was one line, and we survived. We live, but not today. They can't live without a sack. I can't live without air and food, but many folks say they need that more than they need a cell phone. I mean, cell phone may need more than they need that. I don't kind of grasp that. But notice what it says in Isaiah 40 and 31. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings. They'll run and not grow weary. Are we waiting on the Lord? Waiting on the Lord does not mean sitting idly by twiddling our thumbs. It means walking with him every day. Amen. It means allowing him to renew you every day, his word to renew you every day, your prayer life to renew you every day. Every day. Now, if you do that 7 days a week, 365 days a year, imagine how much closer you and I will be to Christ. If we just do these things, and these are not just things that are not unmanageable, these are things that we can implement on our schedules each and every day. Just wait on the Lord. If you wait now, you're out of strength, he'll renew your strength. I don't know. He does it. So whatever you're dealing with, you can make it. Whatever you're struggling with, you're going to be all right.
Whatever trial you're going through, you're going to make it because he's at the end of it. We don't have to crumble. We don't have to falter like the world does. We don't have to run full speed like and be gone in 10 seconds. We can run this race called life and come out in the end a lot better because the rewards are prepared for us. But that's some blessing that we miss each and every day. We leave, as I like to say, some meat on the bones every day. And some of you grew up in households where you grew up in big families, and you know what? There was no meat left on the bone. Matter of fact, when you was about number two or three getting to that dinner table, you was probably short. Because the first one there is usually the oldest one, then you had the parents, and then if you were late, out playing about 5 minutes later, you were licking the pot. Or the bones, either one. So we see that. That's not the way it has to be. Wait on God. He's there for you. And maybe you're struggling now, but there'll be an end. It will be a better day. Amen. It will get better. And guess what? If it does not get better on this side of living, oh my goodness, remain faithful to the end. Yes. Remain faithful to the end, because he's got something that our minds can't even describe to us. He gives a little glimpse of it in his word, but I think if he told us exactly what heaven was like, and I tell folks all the time, it would blow my brain, slam out my head. That's the way I think. Maybe you don't think that way. But I think it's just so marvelous for us. Just finish to the end. It gets better. So we need to do these things. Take care of yourself. Enjoy yourself. Eat properly. Exercise. All those things sometimes you neglect because your schedule is so busy. You find time. We find time, and I found out we find time for everything that's important to us. Amen. We're going to find time for that. But all of a sudden, we can't find time to take care of ourselves. And it's not a crime to take care of yourself. Amen. Because you need that. But we do it by spending time with God. Point number three. Tao refuse to spend time worrying about the what ifs of life. How long have many of us been in that parking lot in life? Amen. What if? What if I'd done better? What if I'd have made a better decision yesterday? What if? What if things don't go well for me tomorrow? Matthew 6:34 says, take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. Sufficient is the trouble thereof. Deal with what you have today. We see these things, but sometimes we spend a whole lot of time worrying about what ifs in life. Most of it's never come true, and the part that's already come true, all we can do is learn from it anyway. So don't spend too much time worrying about those things, the what-ifs of life, because it will send your anxiety and stress through the roof. Because you can't control all them variables. You can't control to make people act right. You can't control sometimes what your boss does at work. You can't control how things happen, but you can control how you react to it. Amen. That's what you can control. That's what I can control. So no matter what, I'm going to react the right way and in a godly way. I'm not going to let people move me that. Now, I tell folks sometimes all the time back at home, you know, but these folks who say, well, they made me curse them out. No, they didn't. If it wasn't in you, it wouldn't have came out. So when they shook the cup, what really was in you came out. So you need to clean what's inside the cup. You know, you should have done it. They made me curse. They cut me off in traffic. They made me curse. Why? Why'd you have to go there? If it was not in there, in your cup, it would have never came out. And usually, that just means you were just waiting for opportunity to unload on somebody anyway. That's what it usually means. So we don't need to worry about those things. Amen. Let God take care of them. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Point number four. Today, I will not imagine what I would do if things were different. They aren't, so don't worry about it. You know what? I'd do something different. I just wish what? We spend our time wishing life away. And we ruin the blessings of today. Well, I wish I was a little taller. I wish I made a little bit more money. I wish I lived here. I wish I drove this. And what are we doing by that? We're just wasting time away. Don't fret. Genesis 22:14. Kind of gives us a picture of this. And this is what Abraham was sacrificing his son. But the place where he was about to sacrifice his son Isaac was called Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. This day and every other day. So we don't need to worry about if things were different. Whatever we're dealing with, God knows them. He knows the situations we're dealing with. We don't surprise him. We'll never catch God off guard about anything. Just learn to take it to him in prayer. Let him do some stuff, do what we can, but he's going to take care of the rest. So don't fret if things were different. And it may not be different today. It may not be different tomorrow. It may not be different 10 years from now. But guess what? You and I can still have our joy and peace intact. Because he's still in control. So we need to understand that we can't control everything. The thing that frustrates us all the time, and we have folks like that. Sometimes it's their personality. Sometimes they learn to control and micromanage things they couldn't control in the past to the point where it, causes us all kind of bad stuff to happen to us. We can't control everything. God's in control, not you and I. You can't control nobody else, really. All you can do is react to them. How many times do we spend life wishing that we can control and change somebody? If that person does not want to change, it ain't going to happen. Amen. And if it does happen, it's just because to get you off their back in many respects. So don't worry about those things. Just learn to live each and every day the best we can. Point number five. Today, I will find the grace to let go of my resentment of others. Now, Genesis 8, I put 22 there, but actually the whole chapter is when, basically, God was striking the Egyptians with the 10 plagues. And if you notice, they had to let some stuff go. And every time they didn't let something go, there was more problems. Flies, frogs, blood, water, turn to blood, all these things because they wouldn't let some stuff go. They wouldn't let the Egyptians go. I mean, the Israelites go. What are you dealing with and what am I dealing with in my life that we refuse to let go? And because of that, in a, at least a generic sense, we're bringing curses into our lives. Curses. Well, you know what? You don't understand what they did to me, but I do understand, if you think about it, what I did to God. So whatever somebody did to you that you can't find a way to forgive them for, think about that and multiply it as many times as a little feeble mind can about what we've done to God.
Amen.
That puts it in. That's what gets me over the hump. Maybe not you. When I get in my own little mind and my own little thoughts, I have to think that God, somebody did something wrong to me once, but I did something wrong to you 10 times before I got to bed.
Amen.
How dare me? How dare me? But resentment is what we call, and as a situation, as resentment in your life, in what they call, in the psychology terms, that's what we call arrested development. Do you know what that means? And what that means is basically at the point you stop forgiving is that's the point you always going to go back to. You like you can't ever get over it. And it just starts with that. Well, they're not sorry. What they got to do with the price of apples? Forgiveness is for us to move on, not them. That's what it's for, is for us to be able to move on. Amen. But if there's resentment in your life, understand your yard is full of, your house is full of flies in a spiritual and an emotional sense, and your yard is full of frogs because you won't let some stuff go. Mm-hmm. It's not worth it. Whatever they've done. And one thing we don't do oftentimes, and sometimes the hardest thing to do, is let go of resentment of our own selves. We struggle with that. We sometimes, things that God has already forgiven us of a long time ago, we're still holding on to it. Nobody's perfect. Everybody got a past. Nobody walked a straight line. That's the reality of it. So why are we still holding on to it? But when you obey the gospel, those things were washed away. Maybe not the consequences, but at least we won't have to answer for it in judgment. So while we're still holding on to stuff that happened 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago, however you are, we're still holding on to it. Why? Why is it still bringing anxiety into our lives about something that happened way back then and you've already asked God to forgive them to him? Your heart was right. Your mind was right when you did it. The Bible says he blotched him out no more, but you still got it in your record book. Not good. And it will rob you of your peace and joy. Point number six. Today I will let go of condemnation, kind of goes along the same line, of past mistakes and failures. Philippians 3:13 and 14, bear witness to that. Let's read that. I'm going to read that. It's one of my favorite passages. I use this when I get to my own sticking points in life. I really do. Philippians, 3:13 and 14. Now, I like the way Paul put this, because it's hard for us to misunderstand. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things watch up behind. Why does Paul say this? By divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because you can't forget what happened behind. You can't move forward either.
Amen.
You can't. It's impossible. So Paul says one thing, emphasizing one thing, or the most important thing you must do before you move forward and mature in Christ, because he talks about it in verse 15. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Today is that day ahead.
Amen.
The day is the day ahead. Tomorrow will be the same way. So whatever you don't do right today, don't take it over until tomorrow. Whatever you don't do right next Tuesday, don't take it over the next Wednesday. Whatever you don't do right in March, don't take it over in April. You got to forget some things and move past them. Then it says this in verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this mind. One of the signs of immaturity is not being able to let some stuff go in the past. Now, I didn't say it. Your Bible said, unless you ripped it out, marked it out, it's in there. As many, that means it's conditional, as are mature, have this mind. Part of us growing up in Christ is being able to do this on a regular basis. And that's something that will really help us really get the most out of each and every day. Point number 7. Today, I will not try to change or improve anybody but me.
Amen.
Well, you know what? They're not acting right. Well, I asked them to do this 15 times and 8. What you doing about it? And why is it bothering you so much? You're trying to fix everybody, and you got your own. Your car smoking like crazy. You've been leaking off for the last 15 years, but you talk about somebody else who got a taillight out. That's the way we live in this world, but that's not the way to live. And I'm not saying that we're not to be members of one another and one admonish and do those things, but Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 gives the answer to that, right? Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. Why and how? Considering yourselves. Considering yourselves, it's so easy to point out everything somebody else is doing wrong. But when it comes to us, oh, not me, not the kid, not me. My feet ain't touched the ground in 10 years. How dare you come to me and say, I got problems? That's the mindset of some folks. So just work on you, be the best person you can. And in doing so, you'll find all those relationships that are strained around you, they'll be a whole lot easier to deal with. Because first of all, you're looking at them through the right eyes, through the right lenses, which means that if I'm struggling with some stuff, so is he, so is she. So how dare me just be like, I'm that person's all the one doing everything wrong and I got my own issues to work on. It's sometimes hard to do some self-reflection like that. But that's one of the first things we got to do so we'll see the true picture.
Amen.
The true picture. A couple more of these and I'll bring lesson for a landing. Point number 8. Today I will act towards others as if this were my last day on earth. What if it was? I preach a sermon every now and then just to kind of remind my folks back home and the title of the sermon is, I Died Last Night. If you and I died last night, what would your life be? What did you have on your agenda that you kind of put off? What kind of excuse did we can say that when we answer and assume whenever Christ comes back, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ? I have to answer for deeds. What deeds have you done in this life? So that's how frail life is. Here 1 minute, gone the next. Now, a whole lot of folks, as I said at the beginning of my lesson, that were here last Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, not here today. And they probably had plans for the day because it's a big day, right? They might have had a big shindig set up for New Year's Day, but they never made it. What if it was our last day on earth? You know, we get this in Luke 23 and 43 because here we have the excerpt from Christ speaking to the thief on the cross when he says, this day or today, you'll be with me in paradise. That could be us. Now, under different circumstances because we're under the new law, but what if this is your last day on earth? What if it was? It might be. It might be mine. I don't know. But what if it was? What would you change? And if you would change it if it was your last day on earth, what if we had that mindset going into every day of our life? This is going to be my last day on earth, so I ain't going to sweat the small stuff. The stuff that used to get me mad and upset and all out of character, that's not going to bother me anymore. This is going to be my last day on earth. That person I hadn't talked to in a while that I need to tell them I love them and I miss them, I'm going to make it happen today.
Amen.
If this is my last day on earth, then that person that I've been at odds with for 15, 20 years, it really, I don't even remember what I'm mad at them for. But I'm going to solve it and move past it.
Amen.
If this is my last day on earth today, you fill in the blank, what would you do different? How would you change? Because that's the way God wants us to live this life, because it could be. He could be saying the same thing to us today. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. You got to get some things straight. Ain't no better time than today.
Amen.
You got some repenting to do. Ain't no better time than today. If you've not obeyed the gospel, ain't no better time than today.
Amen.
No better time than today. Point number 9, today I will be unafraid to truly live. I will focus on what is beautiful, lovely, and godly. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 tells us the things that we should be occupying our minds with. And one of the reasons why days are ruined is because of stinking thinking, right here between our ears. Mm-hmm. We don't approach the right day. We worry and things like that. Notice what it says in verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Amen. When you start going left with your thought life, go back to God's word, because it makes sense out of the whole thing. You don't have to spend your time filled in your mind filled with anxiety every day. You don't have to. That's a choice sometimes we make. Well, you don't understand. I did this and this. I understand all those things. But you can also choose to start laying that stuff down every day.
Amen.
We choose to hold on to it because it's comfortable. We choose to hold on to it because it becomes a defense mechanism. Whatever it is, it's handicapping us, and it's not based on the truth. God's word is truth. God's word says that whatever you went through, you're more than conquerors, that you're overcomers, that this won't break you. That they persecuted Jesus, rejoice, because if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you have no reason to hold your head down.
Amen.
He counted you worthy. One of the things I like to look at and just see the miraculous transformation of Peter in Scripture. Now, here's a man who was bold. God, I never leave you. I'm putting it in my own terms. Boy, shut up. You're going to deny me 3 times before the cock crows. Not me, Lord. But then you find him cursing back there. Now, if we'd left Peter there, you know, Peter would have been in a sad state. When we read the epistles of Peter, here's somebody who rejoiced and counted it all joy when Christ counted him worthy to suffer in the same way he did. So why is suffering so bad for us sometimes? Nobody likes it. But if you're suffering for righteousness' sake, understand this. That's also a guarantee on your reward, because if we suffer with him, we're also going to reign with him. We don't have to fret. We don't have to worry about things like that. Allow it to rob each of us the blessing of each and every day. We don't have to do those things. My last point is this. Today I will strive to love a little more and hate sin a little less, because they go together. We understand that, right? Let's go on over into 1 John chapter 3. Last passage, and I'll give us our, bring this thing in for a landing. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to begin at verse number 1. I can get that myself. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God.
Amen.
What manner of love? He counted us worthy to be called children. As raggedy and wretched as Curtis is, I'm still a child of God.
Amen.
He died for me. He's patient with me. His grace and mercy is the only reason I'm here today.
Amen.
That we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Don't try to fit in. You're not supposed to. One of the things that's really wreaking havoc in the church is we got this mindset. And it's been there forever. But in my little short time on this, it seems like it's more prevalent than ever. We want to be like others around us.
Amen.
That's all we want to be. They got the big crowds. We're going to bring in the drums and everything else. Boy, they got a concert over there. And look at the collection plate. I'm just speaking for myself back home in North Carolina. I mean, look at it. What? It's truth. Don't worry about all those things. We're not supposed to fit in. Verse 2 says this, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure.
Amen.
Because of this love, we sin no more. We sin less. And that's how it works. If sin is still struggling in your life, you know, it's kind of too hard just to have willpower with sin. But if I know, if I truly hurt somebody, I truly hurt somebody I love, that's going to make me work even harder. Because that's not the intention. If you really love somebody, the last thing you want to do is to hurt them intentionally. It happens sometimes, and none of us are perfect, but when I heard love was in my family, it's a little different than some folks say. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't. I don't love the world out there, but I'm talking about somebody that I'm in an intimate relationship with. That hits a whole lot different than somebody else out in the world. We love God. We're in an intimate relationship with him. So for us to really get what we want to get to, we have to understand that loving him more means that we're going to be more dedicated and more sincere about getting rid of sin in our lives. We can't stay stuck there. We can't say this gets me every time if we love him anymore, and we can love him more every day. And it's, I read a book, it was a great book out there. One of the books in my library, Love More and Sin Less, and that book, boy, I had to put it down a couple of times. You know how sometimes stuff start hitting home really quick. Sometimes you got to close and go back and read the next chapter because you can't take no more that day. That's a book for me that sometimes I have to do that with because it makes sense. And that's what it is. For me to really understand who God is, loving him more means the last thing I want to do is let sin linger in my lives. The last thing I want to do is keep making excuses for my sin in my life because I know how much it hurts him. I see in scripture. I see him. I see I'm the one that was said, I think, in the beginning of the lesson. I'm the one, or our brother said here about before communion, I'm the one who put him on the cross.
Amen.
So every time I sin, it's like me being at the foot of the cross and driving them nails in myself personally.
Amen.
If it's not that personal to you, keep growing. It ought to be. It ain't folks 2,000 years ago put him on the cross. It's folks in 2023, January 1, who put him on the cross.
Amen.
I put him on the cross. Well, you know, I ain't had nothing to do with that. I wasn't that bad. Yeah, you did. If you understand sin, because he died for sins both past, present, and future. That's what happened. So when we sin, that's exactly what it is. It's not something to wink at. It's not something that, you know, that we have freedoms with under God's grace, law of grace and mercy. God forbid, as it tells in Galatians. And in conclusion, life has a way of causing us to lose focus. Now, everybody probably right now is at least focused on some goals they got for the new year. But I wonder if we focus on the right things. Well, I'm going to do this by June the 30th. And that's great. But if you don't do something every day, June the 30th is going to be before you know it. And you ain't no closer to your goal. I want to walk with God closer every day. But I do it next Sunday. What if you never make it the next Sunday? Well, I'm going to fix that relationship that I had problems with. But they ain't getting me nothing for Christmas, so I ain't got time for them right now. Yeah, what they got to do with you getting things straight? See, we play games like this, and we put things off, and that P word, procrastination, is truly a killer.
Amen.
Because sooner or later, that procrastination clock gonna run out. We won't have any more time. Everybody has problems, but don't let the problems have you. And that's what we do each and every day. We all have problems. But don't let them take you because you more than conquerors through Christ.
Amen.
Whatever you're dealing with you and God's help, that's what Paul says. Philippians 3:14, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, not through Curtis, because Curtis got his limits. Curtis get weak. Curtis get tired. I get him a feeling sometimes. But me and Christ, we can handle anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Joe Bob in the Mind says. Learn to notice God's little blessings each day. Today, maybe all that we have left.
Amen.
This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I'm going to reflect a little bit, so I hope you don't beat me up in the door, but out the door, but how much time have we wasted already this morning? 24 hours. Wow, I can't remember the math. I think it's, what, 1,400 minutes, if I'm not correct. Somebody in math, good with math, correct me. I mean, how much do we waste? Now, I'm not saying you got to be on the go every time, but that should be our mindset. That I'm going to make and be the best person I can be today. I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to wake up with you on my mind. I'm going to look at the world the way you look at the world through your eyes, which means that the world needs Jesus.
Amen.
One of the things that helps us get moving through evangelism is understanding this, that Jesus is the only hope. We have the dynamo, according to Romans 1:16, in our back pocket. And some of us exploding all over the place. Because somebody might not like us. Somebody might talk about us. You're going to make somebody in your family mad. Our only hope is Christ and him crucified. If you and I had the only cure for that dreaded disease called cancer, how many of us would keep hold on to it? How many of us would? It didn't matter whether the first pharmaceutical company did it or the 100. We don't know because we know because it cured us that we got the cure.
Yeah.
So guess what? It's not personal when you know you have the cure and if somebody doesn't take it. All you're doing is offering them a well way to be well. You can't force it down. Nobody can force medicine down them. But that's my mindset going into the new year to kind of get me going full steam ahead with evangelism. It's the only cure. People are looking at government. Government's been messed up since we've been here.
Amen.
They're looking at new leadership. No, don't base it on that either. They're looking for another. And we got the thing that we need to turn the world upside down, and that's the gospel.
Amen.
That's the gospel. We need to get back to that. And I'm going to do that, and I'm going to push my folks back home to do it, because what if today was the last day? What if he came back for his church without spot or wrinkle 15 minutes from now? Where would you be? Would you meet him in the air? You may say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, you know what? My Bible and yours says judgment starts at the house of God. So if judgment starts at the house of God, God is not in the business of wasting time, just going through stuff, going through the motions. That means everybody who claims to be in the house of God, it ain't going to be good for them on judgment day. I wish I could tell you something different, but I love you too much to tell you that. We got to make sure that we are ready when he comes back. What must we do to be saved? The Bible makes it pretty clear. Hear the gospel. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, we believe what we have heard. It don't matter if you tear it out your Bible. You don't matter. It doesn't matter if you make a paper airplane out of it. It's still going to be true. And you still going to ask for it in judgment. Oh, you can deny it all day. But then it says, repent and be baptized. Some folks have taken water out of the equation. The Bible, New Testament speaks more about money and water than about any other subject in there. Baptism, so to speak. So how in the world can people say it's not essential? Your Bible and mine. And even the prime example was Christ. If he did it to fulfill our righteousness and do no sin, how are we going to get by that?
Amen.
How are we going to get by that? Well, I don't believe it. Who asked you to see something? You can't see your way. My grandma used to say, some folks, and I found this to be true. I thought it was funny at the time. Some folks ain't got enough common sense to go outside and come back in. You live long enough, you're going to run into some folks who ain't got enough common sense to go outside the door and come back in when it's raining. They ain't got enough common sense to do that. But common sense means our soul's at stake. We're more than just flesh. And then confess it. You and I are going to do it whether we want to or not. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And I tell folks back home, the difference is when you do it. If you do it on your terms, then you got a chance to hear, well done, that good and faithful servant. But if the only time you do that is in judgment, the next thing you're going to hear is, depart from me, I never knew you.
Amen.
I don't want even my worst enemy to know that. When I find out about hell, you know, we going to tell some folks to go to the other place. We ought to stop saying that. Because if we understand what hell is, we don't even want our enemies to go there. Because that's a place that was not designed for us initially. But God being a just God, if he rewards us, he has to punish those. And then be baptized. It puts us into Christ. It makes us Christians. That's what it says. No probationary period. You know, we don't need to see your W-2s. You ain't got to live in a certain neighborhood. I'm maybe not here. Back home, across the country. Yeah. They're taking W-2s, they're taking EBD cards and all that stuff. Maybe they ain't made it out here. You know how tough travels, right? I hope it don't. But I'm like, what they got to do with you being a Christian? They said for me to be a part of this church, that I had to give them 15% of my EBT card. Huh? What? Show me in the Bible. They ain't had no EBD cards right here. But that's a whole nother story. And then a little faithful unto death. But from time to time, like I said before, we're getting to running this thing too fast. And God is saying, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that I'm still here today. Yeah. Not perfect, still got some things to work on, but God loved me enough to let me stay on this earth another day.
Amen.
So I need to make the best of it. We need to make the best of it. So at this point in time, I'm going to ask you to stand, and if anyone has a money to the other, you know, I'm going to ask Brother Bruce to help you out.